Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Well, hello and welcome. I'm so excited to be here for Lightning Bug, episode number 2. How cool is that? Woo-hoo. We made it through a week, and what a week it's been. And so, once again, I'd like to talk to you about Lightning Bug and why we're here and what our mission is. And we are part of a progressive network in rural Pennsylvania out of Columbia County. And we like to talk about maybe some local political news or just Pennsylvania news, and then think about, like, what's it going to take to actually affect change and making sure that we are moving forward and moving in a progressive track. Talk about how this might relate to millennials. And then one of my favorite sections, which is chicken and waffles, which I just love.
Do you love chicken and waffles?
I'm kind of like more of like an open-faced chicken sandwich, but I'll go with the waffle.
All right.
And then we'll kind of like wrap it up. So, and we've had a busy week. So I'm Dwayne, and I'd like to have our co-presenters here,
I think I'm more of a guest presenter.
You're guest host here. Go ahead, Taylor.
My name's Taylor Lightman. I'm a guesting here on Lightning Bug. I am one of the hosts of Barnstorming PA, which is a sister podcast over in Union County.
Excellent. So I'm Jess Britton. We met last week as well, and I'm an organizer with Columbia County Indivisible and do all kinds of other stuff. So that's who I am. So I'm excited to be here for episode number 2.
Episode number 2.
Woo! The big 02.
That's right.
So today is actually quite a remarkable day, and we've been busy like since early this morning. Jessica and I were on WKOK this morning talking about the 50th anniversary of MLK's assassination. And in this moment and in this space where we are having a serious discussion led by kids about gun violence, we just wanted to really mark this date. And on the last podcast, you heard how we were making plans for an event that's in Bloomsburg today at 6 o'clock. By the time you hear this, it'll be too late, but maybe Jessica, you could tell us a little bit about what our plans are for the day.
Yes, absolutely. So we're having an event in the at the Town Fountain this evening where we will really be keeping it very simple. Everyone will be hearing the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to play excerpts from speeches and interviews and really take the time to honor the legacy of, you know, this incredible civil rights leader, and also to reflect on the way that his life was cut short by gun violence. And as was mentioned, you know, that could not be more important to discuss in today's political discourse because of the conversations that we're having following the Parkland shootings. So we're looking at you know, Dr. King's legacy, but also asking where we go from here and how we move forward.
So that phrase, where we go from here, that was actually something that was tagged on to the...
Yes, from the National Civil Rights Museum, which is located in Memphis at the site where Dr. King
was killed.
Have
y'all ever been?
I have.
I've went a long time ago, it was a really moving,
moving
museum. Yeah,
one of the most. It remains one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And I've told Dwayne. I said, make that an important thing that you put on your list to do.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you know, if I could just really quickly comment on the format, I think that's a great idea. I feel like now we hear a lot about what, like, our interpretation of Martin Luther King Jr., but to go back and actually listen to what he was saying mm-hmm. is something totally different. And during MLK this past year, I went through a tear and listened to a couple of his speeches. And I think that was really the first time that I'd ever done that. The drum major speech, I mean, that is just incredible stuff.
Right, yes.
And I feel like Martin Luther King Jr., his message has been sort of co-opted by people that are significantly less radical than he was.
Oh, absolutely.
And to get really to the heart of it, because he was a prophet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To get really to the heart of it is just really important, and I applaud that. You know, the format that y'all have chosen to celebrate his life.
What I'm excited about is, you know, most of the time, you know, you go to any public school and discussion of Martin Luther King is that 45 seconds of the I Have a Dream speech. And that's the only access that kids are really given to his work, you know, mm-hmm. and then they find out that he was assassinated, but there's not a lot of filling in of those gaps.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really looking to do, because we have speeches and interviews that span a decade, and that's really exciting. And we actually found out today that a young woman that we met, who's a Bloomsburg University student, is bringing her 5-year-old son. You know, that to me was amazing, because you know, he's gonna hear more than he would hear in school. So
what that makes me think of is being down in D.C. last week for the March for Our Lives, because the surprise speaker there, you know, MLK's granddaughter was there, and she was 9 years old, and she was able to speak and speak so boldly, like, that her dream was enough is enough. And, you know, to get rid of gun violence. And she was incredibly powerful. And so I think that's cool. So one of the things that, that, you know, the idea of being immersed in his words and with the imagery that's going to be around as well was kind of what Jess and I were thinking about in terms of creating an experience, you know, at our town fountain in the heart of our community, to do something like that. But when you think about the heart, I think about with MLK, I think about access to the ballot box. I think about how voting rights was really central and core to his fight for social justice.
Absolutely.
And so thinking about that and then putting it in terms of today, like, what's happening with our justice system? Where is our justice system? Mm-hmm. And looking and bringing it back to Pennsylvania, what's going on in Pennsylvania right now with gerrymandering and the attempt to actually overthrow our Supreme Court?
So maybe
you'd like to speak a little bit about that. That's something that comes to mind for me.
Absolutely. So basically, you know, just the fact that legislators are unhappy with the ruling of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So, but instead of accepting that it is the ruling and that the judicial branch is co-equal, they've decided to try to attack them via
impeachment.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, you know, and it, do I think it's really going to get anywhere? I hope not. But just the fact that that was their instinct and that that's the tactic is really very frightening.
It is, yeah. I mean, it really would be a bridge too far for them. The amount of energy that would take. And I think a majority of Pennsylvania voters would find that just totally abhorrent, you know, impeaching Supreme Court justices who are pretty above the partisan bickering.
Well, I would offer to lift that up, like, so much so that when the Supreme Court had an option to step in, they said, heck no. We're not going to step in.
Right.
Like, even the Supreme Court of our land said, this doesn't make any sense. Like, what is being ruled down below makes sense to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
well,
so...
And a particular thing about... I think one of the reasons why that happened also was because the League of Women Voters case was about how it violated the Pennsylvania Supreme... Constitution.
Right.
And the U.S., the federal Supreme Court, didn't really have any jurisdiction over that. It really, the buck sort of stops at the PA Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, gerrymandering is a perfect example of, you know, votes not being really counted the way that they're supposed to be counted. Because if legislators are choosing their voters instead of the other way around, then those votes aren't being counted properly the way that they should be. So it just, it really all comes right back around to exactly what we were discussing. So
this may not be the most appropriate, but it kind of makes me think of, like, I know that's me, right? Yeah, here we go. I'm thinking, like, what would MLK say? You know, like, so think about, I mean, that's what I'm trying to think of in terms of what would he say? What would he say about that when it comes to having your voice being heard at the ballot box, you know, the way that is reflected in your community?
You know, Jordy and I, and Jordy's one of the other hosts of Barnstorming.
Barnstorming!
We have sort of a running list of, like, really simple, like, bureaucratic things that basically end up restricting people's right to the ballot box. You know, one of which is, you know, I think you have to register to vote a month before the election. I think that really disenfranchises students and people that, you know, frequently move around a lot. You know, another thing is, it drives me absolutely crazy. Like, and this isn't necessarily Pennsylvania specific, but voter ID laws and stuff like that.
Yeah, we fought that back, which was great.
In 2011.
Thank you, Mike Terzai.
But there's just a whole host of other things that I think really prohibit people from participating.
Absolutely. And that really, you know, disproportionately, both of the things that you mentioned end up affecting young people, minorities, and the elderly. The people whose voices, you know, are the most seldom heard end up being hurt even more by these unfair practices.
So I want to change gears just a little bit. So thinking about, you know, access to the voting box, you know, being able to vote is one thing. But the other side of the coin, when we think about justice and social justice, are appointments for the Supreme Court, like on a national level, and what's happening right now. There are some really serious things happening with the appointment of federal judges, who are, of course, appointed for life. And there's two that kind of ring out to me, the one that's from North Carolina, and the other one that is from North Carolina,
Louisiana.
Louisiana. And both of them were involved in basically kind of attacking the voting rights law. One of them worked with Jesse Helms, which of course we know did everything he could to prevent,
prevent
the community, black community, from having a voice, you know. And the other one was involved with actually gay rights too, and gay rights, I should just say human rights, because he was actually proposing that if someone is gay, that they should be arrested.
Really?
You know, yeah. So when you what a kick in the ass to MLK. I mean, talk about an insult to his name.
Yeah,
that these are the people that are being, that are not qualified, and we're basing this on their record. You know, that they're not qualified. Right. They don't have the bar is so low right now. With what the Trump administration is appointing. Maybe you guys can elaborate on this.
Well, and the best way to indicate how someone will act in the future is how they have acted in the past. And if this is their record, there's no reason to believe that they will do anything otherwise moving forward, especially when key provisions of the Voting Rights Act were struck down in 2013. And, you know, we're moving forward without certain areas, especially in those really vulnerable places in the South that had a history of disenfranchisement, you know, the federal government doesn't have the ability to protect those communities right now. So putting judges on the federal bench for life could have a disastrous effect on communities like those.
So it would be Justice, who they're proposing is Stuart Duncan, who is from Louisiana. That's the Fifth Circuit. And he is a conservative lawyer who defended the North Carolina's monster voter suppression law. And he did that in conjunction with Thomas Farr. He was also opposed to DAPA, which is the Deferred Action Parents of America, and also DACA, which we know is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And he was also the one that wanted to limit the rights of LGBT people, including charging them with crimes. And then then you have Thomas Farr from North Carolina. It's the Eastern District of North Carolina, who defended, once again, North Carolina's monster voter suppression law with Stuart Duncan. And then also was had worked with Jesse Helms in his 1990 Senate campaign, and you know he was notorious for suppressing the black votes, black communities, and yep. So those, I mean, and there's others. Those are just two that just yes. rise to the just like, yeah. oh my God, yeah, how can we be doing this? You know, at this time,
the top of the list of the worst, but there are unfortunately many, many more.
Right.
Yeah. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. So
here for democracy.
Yeah, yeah, how about it? There's also, you know, when I think about MLK, I think about how closely aligned he was with labor. You know,
oh, absolutely. So, I was going to say, I mean, he died during, helping to organize janitors, actually, in Memphis. I think they were with AFSCME.
Yes, they were.
It was a janitor strike.
That's right. That's why he was there.
Yeah, no, and I think the sort of the... You know, the spark that caught it was two garbage men, people that were emptying garbage, took shelter in the back of one of those garbage trucks during rain, and they died in an accident. And so the janitors were demanding, amongst other things, just safe work and
safety.
Working.
Sure.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, you know, I think, you know, a thing that often gets missed about MLK is he wasn't just about racial justice, he's about social justice, economic justice, yes. and I mean, I think that maybe intentionally gets glossed over.
Oh, sure.
You know,
because it's easier to divide people if you sort things into those categories and don't look at it as a whole picture.
Yeah.
So I actually have some quotes by MLK in regard to labor that I'd like to share and maybe lift up at this time. Here's one. All labor that uplifts humanity has dignity and importance and should be undertaken with painstaking excellence. And then this one I thought was really interesting. It's a little bit longer. History is a great teacher. Now everyone knows that the labor movement did not diminish the strength of the nation, but enlarged it. By raising the living standards of millions, labor miraculously created a market for industry that lifted the whole nation to undreamed of levels of production. Those who attack labor forget these simple truths, but history remembers them. And then another one that says the labor movement was the principal force that transformed misery and despair into hope and progress. And then this one I'd like to leave as a last quote regarding labor, unless you folks have something. Our needs are identical with labor needs. So this speaks to what you just said, Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, our needs are identical with labor needs. Decent wages, fair working conditions, livable housing, old age security, health and welfare measures, conditions in which families can grow, have education for their children, and respect in their community. If that doesn't speak to today,
absolutely.
It doesn't get more fundamental than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll say the one thing, you know, I think I said this earlier. He is and was a prophet. And I'm not meaning, you know, I don't say that in a sense that he was a soothsayer.
Yeah,
but
something like that. Yeah.
But to me, a prophet is somebody that makes clear something that is often really not clear and hazy. And that those simple demands, decent wages, a fair living, and a fair shot at life, like that is so simple.
Absolutely.
And so so resounding. You know, it resonates so well then today. Unfortunately, probably in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, one of the other famous, you know, quotes from Dr. King is, you know, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah.
And that alone goes right back to our point of you can't just be for civil rights. You also have to be for social justice and for economic justice and, you know, all of those things go together.
Yeah.
So with that thought, let's put this together, and I'd like to hear what the two of you think in terms of the Millennial Minute. Yeah, so this is a segment where we kind of just take 1 minute or so and talk about how this can relate to that huge voting bloc that's out there, the Millennials, and how they can relate to this idea of MLK, and when I say idea, I mean the idea of what he stood for, and where his movement was. And so what do you think about that in terms of relating it to the Millennial Minute?
I mean, I think you know, one way, just the fact that we just saw how many thousands turn out for a nonviolent protest,
right,
led by students, you know, it doesn't get more connected to the work that MLK did than people taking to the streets to peacefully demonstrate and demand change. Right. So I think that that's a prime example, and those people are ready to vote. There were record numbers of voter registrations in the last 2 weeks.
So Taylor, what are your thoughts go with this?
So my thoughts are this. I'm a millennial, you know, and my generation has really come of age at a time of great strife. You know, the 2008 recession was a big thing for the millennials, and many millennials have never really recovered. And you know, times where previous generations have had, you know, booming economic circumstances, the millennials really haven't had that. It's, you know, we've got, you know, millennials on the whole have crushing student loan debt, you know, really not huge access to affordable education to you know, to advance ourselves in the labor market, you know, in a lot of places, terrible minimum wage, minimum wage jobs, and in Pennsylvania, the minimum wage is $7.50 an hour, or $7.25 actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing here is that a lot of older folks have access to health insurance through their employers, but a lot of millennials don't get that. So, you know, and then on top of all that, we're concerned about lead in our water from the crappy rental properties we're renting because we, you know, don't have enough money to buy homes. So here's the millennial minute here. There's a lot of shit going on, and right. Millennials want somebody with a backbone that can speak directly to this.
Sure.
And I think that right now, you know, that's the Democratic Party, honestly. I think the Democratic Party needs to present new and improved leadership that's going to cut straight through the bullshit and fight for the common person.
I think that's the answer. I mean, that sounds right to me, that leadership.
Yeah.
Leadership is what we're looking for. Well, that was awesome. To hear that relating in those terms, both of you, I thought that was pretty cool.
And I will say also, there are a couple cool millennial leaders out there at the party. I'm particularly keeping my eye on, what is it, Pete Buttigieg?
Buttigieg? Yeah, I'm not sure how
do you
to
know how
say
I'm
that
not
name.
Even going to try. Are you kidding?
Buttigieg, Pete. I think is right, but I know, yes.
Yeah, Pete,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us about him. Maybe some of our listeners don't know too much about him.
Well, he's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Right.
I think he's actually the first openly gay man elected to be the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And he gave a good run for DNC chair this past year.
He did, and he's not even 30 yet. Is that correct?
I'm not entirely sure.
I might have to
look that
check.
Up. Yeah. We'll get back
but he's
checking the ID.
But he has served two terms. As mayor, and I think during one of them, he actually had to go on. I think he went over to Afghanistan, and was a service member.
Wow.
In active combat.
Right.
So he's a really powerful leader. Just to throw one millennial leader out there that listeners of Lightning Bug could keep their eye on.
Yeah, absolutely.
How old is he? He is.
Oh, I lied. He is in his 30s. He's 36.
Oh, he's over the hill.
Okay. He's so old.
Yeah, so old.
So old.
Yeah, but his name has been out there, and you know, you just
and what is
don't
his last
see
name?
That Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, look it up. It's he's the mayor of South Bend.
it's
yeah, and he is a vet of the Afghanistan War.
Maybe that's
so,
the title for this
so.
Time round.
Yeah.
People have to say his name.
Just look it up.
Just look it up.
Oh, that's funny. So this brings me to something that I really enjoy, and that's chicken and waffles. And so we've talked about a lot of things in this short period of time. We talked about obviously this being the anniversary of MLK's assassination.
Honestly.
Are you hungry?
Yeah. Where do we get some chicken and waffles around?
We're just gonna bring some that's a lie. We don't have any chicken and waffles.
Oh, we can find. We can scrounge some up. I'm sure.
Okay, all right.
So, but we talked about voting rights and access to the voting box. We talked about impeachment of our justices. So, you know what? I want to put a pin in right there because my thought is that the Republican Party in Pennsylvania is terrified. They are like chickens with their heads chopped off right now and are trying to do anything they can to try and prevent a fair shot at the ballot box by undoing the gerrymandering that they did in Project Red Map. And they're terrified of the idea of us having equal access of citizens actually voting and being...
One person, one vote.
Yeah, that has them going crazy to the point that they're actually trying to impeach justices that didn't agree with their decision or what they felt was right.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, you talk about them being chickens, but I think there's also... I think they can also be waffles in this situation because, well, what you constantly hear, and this drives me crazy as someone, you know, I'm in my 30s, but is, oh, you young people don't vote, and young people don't young people aren't civically involved. Well, of course, when you are brought up looking at the current political system and saying, okay, well, no matter what I do, it seems like my vote doesn't matter.
Right.
And saying all this, you know, then you look at it and go, so why should I participate?
Yeah.
So you have all these people who are just such hypocrites who are saying, well, you know, the young people aren't going to vote anyway regarding any issues that any millennials speak out about or anything like that. But now there's a chance where all their votes are about to be counted fairly in districts that are actual representations of the communities. And they're like, crap, what are we going to do if they do start voting?
Yeah.
And it turns it right around.
Can I interject here? Yeah. What exactly is a chicken and what exactly is a waffle?
So a chicken, I think, is someone who doesn't show courage in their conviction.
You're a chicken. Okay. They're called a chicken.
Right. So, for example, the fact that everyone in D.C. seems to be afraid of passing reasonable gun laws.
So they're afraid. They're
a chicken.
They're the chicken.
A waffle would be like Trump, who on Tuesday says, hey, we should raise the age to 21 for buying a gun. And then on Thursday says, oh, there's no political will. We can't do that.
Okay.
So he waffled back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, the other thing we can think of, and maybe you can think in terms of this.
So this is like tears and tears, but no cheers.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, but you could present the opposite of it, too. Like the idea that the kids are the exact opposite of chicken and waffles.
Oh, they're the
because they're showing courage.
Gravy.
I don't know how far we can push this.
This is good. It's a full course meal.
It's a full course meal, so we have to have it all.
Just have certain things.
But they're also the opposite of waffles because they've been very consistent with their messaging.
Oh,
so that kind of thing.
The opposite of chicken.
So here's something else it makes me think of. And Jess, when you were saying this, it kind of struck a chord with me because we were talking about labor and we've talked before on Barnstorming about the Janus decision. And
the
fact, you know, what's going on. And
that's
Janus
really
is actually a deity. It's a god that has two heads, or two faces on his head. One that faces the past and one that faces the future.
Oh,
I did not know this. Yeah,
it's a
deity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the month of January is named after Janus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so looking to the past and looking to the future.
That is fascinating.
I love mythology, so that's kind of my thing.
Right.
But anyway, when you think about it.
New things
tune into Lightning Bug. Yeah, exactly.
So what it makes me think about is kind of the two sides of what the Republicans are saying. And one message is, it's so important for young people to vote, and then they're doing everything they can to prevent young people from voting.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
That's the two sides of it, you know?
Yeah,
and one of them's looking to the future, and the other one's looking to the past. Right? They're afraid. Like, how cool is that, right? Like, we are conservative. We need to keep things the way they are, and we can't make change. The other one's like, we need to move forward. We need to think about those things.
Right.
So I had this little thing about
and you know,
like
and the amazing thing about that is that it that also, again, ties in perfectly with the whole conversation about Martin Luther King. Because, you know, one of his primary messages was, you know, bending the moral arc of the universe towards justice, where you can continue to look back and it's not going to be a straight line, but progress is progress and we need to keep moving forward. And one of the only ways to keep moving forward is to make sure that everyone has at least the ability to vote.
Yeah.
So it comes right back around to where we started.
I know we're getting sort of to the end of this podcast, but I also think that, like, peer pressure is really important to getting your friends to vote.
It is.
And especially, you know, as a millennial, like, and I apologize in advance, and I'll apologize in advance a few more times, but I will be peer pressuring the shit out of all of my friends to register to vote. And I will deputize you, dear listener, to do the same. And
absolutely.
And don't be afraid to be a little bit of an asshole about it, because sometimes people need that. Yeah, fence sitters need pushes sometimes.
Yeah.
I will just jump on that and say, I'm not afraid at all to be an asshole about it, and I will just shut people down. If they're like, well, I don't vote. I had someone tell me recently, I don't vote because I don't like the government. And after
do you think I like the government?
After I picked my job up off the floor, yeah, I was like, well, you want to know how you changed that?
Yeah, yeah, like, I've got one... yeah.
I'm staying inside because I
kidding?
Don't like going inside.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
What are you talking yeah. about?
Oh, that so, is terrible.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh,
decisions
man.
Are made by those who show up, people.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. That's just crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, so those are the two things, I think. The idea that my vote doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And that all politicians are alike. And if you think that all politicians are alike, you're
you
not
many
fucking paying
no.
attention.
No, exactly.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You're, that's the most
that
asinine thing. If someone says that to me, there's no conversation to be had there.
Kamala Harris,
like, so,
Ted Cruz, what's
like,
the difference?
They're
all
so similar.
I know, look at them. It's just like unbelievable.
They're all those politicians. They're
yeah.
all alike.
Oh, yeah, they're all alike. I just think of how stupid that person actually sounds right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, but that's the conversation that many people have. We're in rural PA and we hear that, you know.
Yeah.
In fairness, it's everywhere. But,
lesser of two evils.
I'll one quick gripe if we're at the I guess we're past the gripe section.
We're
never,
mopping up the
we're
gravy.
Mopping up, we're mopping up the gravy. Okay. All right. Well, just to go off of that, it drives me crazy when people running for office start off by saying, "I'm not a politician."
Oh,
it's like,
oh,
you are, God. You are, and don't run away from it.
I
just
don't care
embrace
what
it.
You're running for.
Yeah,
you're a politician.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just embrace it. You know, we need good politicians.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Well. I had a lot of fun with the two of you today.
Yeah,
this was a lot of fun.
Fabulous.
This is good for number two. And
thanks
and
for having
you
me on.
Welcome.
I really thank you, Taylor. And
anytime.
Thanks, Taylor, for
yeah.
Taylor is doing some behind the scenes helping for us as well, and we appreciate it very much.
So we are Lightning Bug. We are Lights in the Night. We are not alone. And thank you for tuning in.
Yay!
Yay.